Every golfer's dream is to play at St. Andrews, and on the one and only time I've played it, we started at 6 a.m. in fog, a thick fog, couldn't see a thing. And because we were unable to see anything, we were guided by a compulsory hired caddy. You had to hire a caddy, that was part of the deal. But as the morning wore on, the fog cleared, and I actually played quite well, until I landed up against the vertical face of a huge bunker. The caddy asked me if I thought I could get out of it. Now to me, that sounded like a challenge. So I said, well, I'll give it a go. But it took me 3 shots to get out of that huge bunker. After which he reminded me of what he'd asked. And then he added that if I'd said no, he would have told me that I could have declared it an unplayable line and taken a penalty drop, which might have saved me a shot or two. I didn't know that. Sometimes, when counting the costs, it's wise to listen carefully to an expert's advice. For some, counting the costs often comes too late as a result of having done something daft by acting on impulse without first thinking it through. And today's gospel contains the classic example of just that. Here you have the apostles battling with a heavy sea, being tossed all over the place, perhaps even fearing for their lives. And Peter, with absolutely no experience of walking on water, asking Jesus if he could hop across the waves to join him. It reminds me of like the first time I strapped on a pair of skis without taking lessons. Nothing to this, I thought. I'd watch Ski Sunday. Until the skis started to move, and they moved so fast that I was soon out of control and yelling for Jesus, Mary and Joseph and everybody to save me and for everyone else to get out of the way. What was Peter thinking of? No wonder he began to sink when reality kicked in. But this incident tells us so much about Peter, who, as we've seen on several occasions, is given to acting on impulse without thinking of what he was doing or counting the costs. Because he acted on impulse, he often failed and came to grief. Remember him, for example, professing eternal, unshakable loyalty to Jesus. Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. And then at Jesus' trial, denying he ever knew him. Somehow he missed or didn't listen carefully to our Lord's insistence that if anybody wants to be his follower, he must count the cost of what that involves and make an honest assessment of his ability to carry it through. Peter's trouble, or maybe weakness, to put it better, which I personally think is his most endearing character, was that he was ruled by his heart. No matter how often he failed, his heart was always in the right place. He clearly loved Jesus very much, and in his often ham-fisted way, was never frightened to show it. I suppose his most redeeming feature was that in the moment of failure, his natural instinct was to reach out for Christ, as we see here when he begins to sink. Like Judas, he betrayed Christ. But unlike Judas, he stayed for Christ's forgiveness. Each time he fell, he rose again. And maybe those falls brought him closer than ever to Jesus, whom he knew would forgive not 7 times, but 77 times 7 times. So from Peter, we learn that a saint is not someone who never falls and never fails, but someone who gets up after every fall. Like him, there's hope for us all if we reach out for Christ's helping hand. Getting back to the incident at the Sea of Galilee, it's significant, I think, that when Jesus gets into the boat, the wind drops and all is calm again. Many commentators see that as an image of where the church is today, although for me, I think it's where the church has always been, tossed by the various storms that rise every so often in our history, leaving many people, Christians among them, torn between belief and doubt. Perhaps they had forgotten another occasion, this time on the shore of Lake Galilee, when Jesus gave to Peter, the rock on which he built his church, a guarantee that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. In the time of Elijah, that beautiful reading that Rebbe read for us earlier, in the time of Elijah, the Jewish faith seemed dead in Israel. So discouraged and depressed by this, Elijah made a pilgrimage back to its source, the mountain where God had made his covenant with Moses. There he found God, not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but in the still, small voice of calm. It gave him the confidence to return to the people, even with all the hostility that was there, to proclaim God's word. So in our own time, in spite of rumours of our faith being dead and lots of turmoil in the church, Jesus' words to Peter still apply. Man of little faith, why did you doubt? We need to stay calm. He's here with us in the boat.